Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the good news. Please be seated. This weekend, we are continuing our sermon series on a different kind of fruit, looking at the fruit of the Spirit and how they might blossom in our lives for the sake of a healthier, more life-giving community. And so this morning, we consider kindness. Kindness, a word that gets used a lot and probably deserves some unpacking. Similarly, a few weeks ago, I preached on the difference between happiness and joy. And I think that kindness has a similar history with the word nice. As the saying goes, it's nice to be nice. But I'm not sure it's nice enough. Nice can feel empty. It lacks depth. Niceties stem from the mouth, a smile, some sweet words. It's easy. Kindness stems from the soul. It's authentic, and it's backed by our actions. Niceness is what somebody says to your face. Kindness is how they talk about you behind your back. It's about how they treat you. Nice gives, like, Mean Girl movie vibes. Kindness gives Good Samaritan vibes. If you're at all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, then we're sort of used to the surprise by now that the expected helpers, the priest, the temple worker, ignored somebody in need. If we follow the Old Testament laws carefully, though, we realize that it's probably because the injured traveler was considered unclean and they were well within their duty to obey the law and walk around him. Still not great. And Jesus would continue to challenge the ways that following God's law so literally was actually preventing religious people from fully living out God's love in the world. It had the opposite effect that the law was intended for. But of course, the bigger reason the story of the helpful Samaritan is so scandalous is because Jews and Samaritans were enemies. They thought very little of each other. Saw each other as less than human. Samaritans weren't worthy of welcome or compassion. And yet in Jesus' parable, the Samaritan of all people is the one who lived out God's love for a stranger. The Samaritan showed kindness backed by compassionate action. But I actually think that there's another part of this story that might be even more subtly important than just the Samaritan breaking down the barriers of love. And it has to do with the way that the lawyer was challenged by Jesus after the parable. The challenge was not necessarily just to go out and help people in need, though of course that was part of it and very important, but remember the original question the lawyer asked: "Who is my neighbor?" And if we look again at the end of the parable, Jesus asked, "Which of these 3 do you think is a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." The real challenge for the lawyer was to simply see the Samaritan as his neighbor by admitting that he could possibly be the hero of the story. That acknowledgement in and of itself that a Samaritan could be good was a big deal. The lawyer had to see that an outsider, a surprising source of goodness, was a beloved human worthy of noticing and lifting up. And that's the key to kindness. It happens when we are willing to really see somebody for who they are, for the value they hold in simply existing, for believing that they are capable of beauty because they themselves are God's beloved, beautiful ones too. When we other a person, or when we other a group of people, our inclination toward that person, those people, will never be kindness. It will always be fear and separation. Kindness is about seeing the full humanity, God's image in someone else. Because when we see somebody that way, we don't separate, we draw closer. We're more likely to welcome someone into community, to enter into relationship with them so that the other becomes my neighbor. This is, I think, what Jesus meant when he finished by saying to the lawyer, "Go and do likewise." In other words, go and keep breaking down walls with the others in your life, lawyer, so that relationship can happen. Because once we're in relationship, then kindness sort of ripples out and multiplies. As we begin to get to know each other, then we find suddenly, maybe surprisingly, that the person across us has real needs and real struggles, real hopes, and that they are just as important as our own. That there's no hierarchy of who deserves care more than somebody else, and suddenly kindness spurs us to action, to show compassion, to work for justice, to help our neighbor to find and enjoy abundant life, just as we hope for ourselves, loving neighbor as we love ourselves. And so kindness is sort of this fourfold flow. It's kindness sees the other, it steps closer toward the other, builds relationship, and shows compassion. And I think some of those steps, part of that flow, can come naturally more to some people than to others, but I don't think it's ever always easy for any of us, which means that kindness is like a muscle that needs training. It takes repetitive, intentional thought and effort, and I suspect the more we practice it, the easier it becomes. I once asked my therapist how she always manages to be so open and genuinely not judge some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth, even quietly in her heart. And she responded very seriously by saying that she has spent so much time building relationships with her clients, seeing their struggles, their growing edges, seeing what has happened in their lives that brought them to this point, and realizes that everyone is truly doing the best they can with the tools they've been given. And as she has done this work and built those relationships, judgment has just kind of melted away. She said she just can't find judgment in the room when compassion is so big. Friends, that is kindness. That is what I hope for my life and for yours. It's about relationships. Relationships with the least expected people. Relationships that are built around truly seeing and valuing the belovedness in each other. And in those spaces, compassion will become so big that no prejudice, no judgment, no hatred will be able to find breathing room. Instead, only kindness will abound. And the beauty of seeing each other in this way, of caring for each other as if they matter just as much as we do, is that if we're all doing that, it means we will all be cared for by those around us. And in this, Jesus told the lawyer, is where we find real life. A community that isn't just looking out only for themselves, but for every single person in their midst, where everyone is cherished, everyone feels a sense of belonging, everyone finds abundance. So we have a habit of trying to leave you all with a challenge, and I have a big one this week that I think that you're going to hate, so I hope that you're really excited. I want to encourage you to find a Samaritan in your life. Somebody that you've been taught to dislike, mistrust, or misunderstand, maybe even automatically without realizing you're doing it. Whoever it is for you, I'm not asking you to become besties, okay? I'm asking you to imagine them wrapped in God's love. Imagine how that person might lose sleep at night with worry or fear about something in their life. Imagine the way they experience loneliness or hopelessness. Consider what you might have in common. And if it's possible, maybe even take some time to listen and learn something about them. Let this be the first step toward kindness blossoming in a new space in your heart. And if even this feels too hard, I suspect it's because it's been too long since you've experienced kindness. So you get an alternate challenge. Instead, spend some time considering God's compassion for you. Steep yourself in a God who loves being in relationship with you. Imagine the way that God really sees you, cares about your needs and your struggles, loving you so carefully and thoughtfully. So that either way, with one or both of these challenges, we might find kindness in abundance in our lives this week. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of kindness. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that feels like it should be so easy, and yet compassion can be hard. There can even be compassion fatigue, and yet you call us to it, and so help us to lean into your compassion that we might go out and share your love and kindness with a world in desperate need. Amen.